Isaiah 55, you can find it on page 615. Isaiah 55 on page 615. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness for the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Ho, it says, everyone who thirsts. The Bible says God is love. It is that love that comes through powerfully in this chapter. So you should hear to know the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of that love. God graciously invites the needy to come to him. He says, come, everyone who thirsts. You don't qualify by birth. You don't qualify for this by nation. You don't qualify for this by what you've done. You haven't qualified for this by anything but your need. Are you thirsty? He has something for those who have nothing. We know the physical need. I'm so thirsty. So you rise from that to a spiritual need. For some, it's a longing that things would be right. For some, it's a longing to know what is true. For some, it's a longing to find the peace that has eluded you and haunted you. If you are thirsty, God's invitation is for you. He does not have a word for the satisfied. He has a word for the needy. And his word promises satisfaction. He says, come to the waters. God will meet your need. He'll answer it. He'll satisfy you. And he'll do it abundantly. He didn't say, come to the glass of water. He didn't say, come to the water. He said, come to the waters. As to say that there is much. And he goes on, not to those with need, but to those with a positive disqualification. He who has no money. If you have no money, you can't buy anything. You don't even go into the store. You can't get anything there. But God calls the one without money and says, come, buy and eat. He has the good stuff. He says, come and buy milk. Come and buy wine. And he doesn't have some other condition in mind. He says, come without payment and without price. It's a gracious invitation. But it falls on deaf ears if your mind closes your ears. If you say to yourself, yes, God invites the deserving poor, but not me, for I am undeserving. And so God is not done. We see next that God graciously invites those who are needy despite their foolishness. It's easier to pity the deserving, the people who can't help it. I'll help you because you're in a bad place through no fault of your own. But the undeserving, the lazy, the criminal, the addicted, maybe not. That's your fault. And maybe it is. But God here is not discussing a prudent welfare plan. He's discussing His grace. And when He extends His grace, He calls those who have done it to themselves. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? This isn't people who've never had money. He's calling people who had money and spent it on the wrong things. He doesn't restrict this call to the deserving. No. He's specifically calling those who have blown it. You had money and you blew it. You were thirsty and you bought the potato chips. Yes, that's a funny one, but you can spin it in a very serious kind of way. He calls those who through tragic foolishness have impoverished themselves. He calls those who put their work, their lives into the wrong things. He says, why do you spend your labor for that which does not satisfy? What a tragic picture to spend your years on that which does not satisfy. And yet that's true for so many. And after years of it, it's easy to say, and now how could I ever climb out of this hole that I am in? Now there is no hope for me. But God says, would you just keep listening? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. He rushes on to the gift. He knows our hope is slender, easily snuffed out. So He doesn't make you wait. He says, listen and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Just keep listening. Because you need God's thoughts, which are higher than your thoughts. You need to get out of the prison house of your own mind and hear the word that comes to you from the Lord. He says, incline your ear and come to me. We need, first, to be close enough to God to hear Him. Secondly, we need to be close enough to speak to Him, to make our spiritual home with Him. That terrifies some people. That can be distasteful. Come to God. Why? So he says, why? Here, that your soul may live. There's a good reason why. So that your soul may live. You know death is coming. You know death is not far from any of us. And only God can sustain you in life. Only God can sustain you, body or soul. Only God awakens you now from your deadness. God is the only way that your soul may live. And so He says, come to me that your soul may live. But how, you might say? What is the union between us? What connection is there between His light and my darkness? How can we meet? And we see thirdly, God graciously invites the needy to an everlasting covenant based on His love for David. That's in 3b. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. He doesn't refer to the covenant with Moses. Notice that. He does not refer to the covenant with Moses. That covenant they had broken. They were about to receive its final penalty with exile. Isaiah doesn't speak of it here. He refers to God's covenant with David, that his son would be king. An unconditional covenant. It wasn't to give his sons impunity. He says, if your sons sin, I'll judge him. But I will not take my love from you, the way I took it from Saul. Now the striking thing as you read that, you know those are very old words. They are, like 2,700 years old. But as old as they are, they come considerably after David. David was still a good 250 years dead. So what do you mean by your steadfast, sure love for David? He's 250 years dead. Well, the promise is for that covenant with David, that David would have a descendant, and that God would keep these promises through that descendant. That's the one known as the Messiah. And as he says, David was a witness. He told people the truth about God. David was a commander. He led Israel to victory and safety. But it says here that Messiah will do those for more people, a leader and commander for the peoples. How? Because he will call nations you haven't yet heard of. And so we have here the terms of God's gracious call and invitation. He doesn't call everyone, he calls the thirsty. Those who recognize they lack something. He calls us not to do whatever we want. Verse 7 goes on to specify, but to forsake wickedness. He calls us to listen to God, to come to God, and enter this everlasting covenant. So seek the Lord while he may be found. He invites with urgency there in verse 6. And there's a warning to the urgency. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because God will not always be near you. He's near you now. But if you don't listen and hang on to the word, he will not always be so near you. You know how distractible you are. Nor will you always be able to find him. You know how destructible you are. You won't always be able to look for him. And so look now, and if you don't know how to look, he tells you. Let the wicked forsake his way. Notice he's inviting the wicked. He's inviting the wicked, forsake your way. He's inviting the unrighteous. Notice God sees our thoughts. He says, let him return to the Lord. There's that terrifying thought again, going to God. And so the Lord promises, let him go to the Lord that I might have compassion on him. So that God may pardon you. So the moment like that the devil wants to grab your ear and say, no, no compassion for you. You know what you did. And God grabs your ear back. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not like the people you know. Your ways are not my ways. How are they different? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I've known the verse a long time. This week I noticed the context. Go to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the leading. He will abundantly pardon. Then he goes into his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Then his ways are higher than your ways. He's saying, don't tell me what I will and won't do. Don't let the devil tell you anything. Because here's what I mean by my words being higher. My word accomplishes what I want it to. As the rain comes down and it waters the ground, giving life, so shall my word be. It shall come down and it will do what I want it to do. Which is what, Lord? It says, you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. He says, I send out my word for your deliverance, a great and awesome deliverance, with mountains and hills singing. He says, I send out my word for my own glory. It shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. our deliverance and His glory. These are the great purposes of this word. It's the great goal of His loving invitation. So are you thirsty? Are you spending your life, your money, your effort, your soul in the wrong places? The Lord calls you to quench your thirst. He calls you to go to the right place. He calls you to go to the right person. To go to Him. To go to the covenant that is based on the Messiah. And if you should ask, but who is He? Should you hear a descendant of David say, if you knew who spoke with you, you would ask Him, and He would give you living water. Should you hear a descendant of David say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When you hear Him say this, then know that you have found that Messiah, and that God has blessed you with a blessed and loving invitation. And seek the Lord while He may be found. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your gracious call. Thank You for the powerful word. And we pray that indeed You would achieve all Your gracious purpose in us. Help us, Lord, to seek You. Help us to forsake unrighteous thoughts. Help us to go after You and find Your love, which is great towards us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray it in His name. Amen.